Chapter 4.
How many stormtroopers does it take to change a glow panel?
2.
One to change it, and one to blast him, then take credit for the work.
Jason Solo, age 14. By the time Jaina pushed through to the front of the crowd, Tahiri and her troopers were clamping Ben into the GAG doom sled, fitting his wrists and ankles with electromagnetic bands that would keep his limbs firmly affixed to his Durasteel seat. His head had already been enclosed inside a full-faced blinder helmet, basically a Durasteel bucket with no viewplate, secured to the ceiling by a short chain. Ben had fled away from his backup. Jaina knew her young cousin had only been trying to preserve mission security, that he had followed textbook procedure when facing overwhelming odds. But that was GAG thinking. Jedi stuck together. They trusted one another to do the impossible. And when they found themselves in trouble, they did not make it harder for their partners to extract them by running in the opposite direction. Across the compartment from Ben, Shevu lay stretched over several seats, his wrists and ankles already mag-clamped to the Durasteel. He wasn't wearing a blinder helmet. The chain was too short to reach someone lying prone, and he was cursing and screaming as an MD droid tended to a blaster wound he had suffered, abrasion cleaning it without the benefit of a numbing agent. All this was being done with the Doomsled's detention compartment open to full view, so the public could see the stern efficiency with which GAG dispatched traitors to the Alliance. Good government was transparent, after all. But there was also another reason, Jaina knew. Ben remained in full view, so his backup team would feel encouraged to attempt an ill-advised rescue. There was simply no other reason the Sith apprentice and a full GAG security detail would take 10 minutes to secure a pair of semi-conscious prisoners, or wait for a doomsled to arrive in the first place. Standard procedure was to whisk prisoners away instantly, both to maximize their confusion and to minimize any chance that they would be rescued, or silenced by unconstrained colleagues. Jaina realized all that, recognized an obvious setup when she saw one, and it meant nothing to her. Because she wasn't losing Ben. She wasn't putting her uncle through that kind of anguish, and she wasn't giving her brother another shot at their cousin. Ben had stepped too far into the light to fall again, and Jaina knew that he would let himself be tortured to death before turning dark. And knowing Kytus, that might be exactly what happened. Jaina saw the black streak of a vidlog droid zipping down the line of bystanders toward her, creating a record of onlookers that would be analyzed frame by frame back at headquarters. She was disguised as an Elawman office girl, but her mask-flattened nose and fake skull horns would not fool a GAG facial recognition servo brain. She used a force flash to disrupt the vidlogger's optics, then slipped back into the crowd. Of course, the force flash itself would confirm that Ben had a Jedi backup, but Tahiri certainly knew that much already. At least now she wouldn't know exactly which Jedi it had been. Once Jaina was sufficiently hidden in the crowd, she made her way to within a few meters of a sultry Kodruji female who had males of all species stealing furtive glances. The woman's outfit, a daring mini-vest and cling-pant combo, was part of a hide-in-plain-sight strategy, the kind of thing that anyone who knew the stately Leia Organa Solo would be shocked to see her wearing. Even more shocking, at least to Jaina, was the throng of admirers that her mother could still attract, and she felt fairly certain that the prosthetics and makeup did not have all that much to do with it. Jaina caught her mother's eye, then flicked her gaze toward one of the med wagons that had arrived to gather the GAG casualties Ben and Shevu had left scattered across the plaza. Leia nodded and shot a flirty smile at a red-skinned Deveronian who had been dipping his brow horns in her direction, then sent a teasing brow flash toward a blue-faced Duros
whose red eyes had remained fixed on her for a good 5 seconds. She put on a sad little pout and waved goodbye to both, then started to work her way through the crowd toward the med wagon Jaina had indicated. They met at the circle of gawkers surrounding the vehicle. Jaina kept her eyes on the two Rhodians being loaded into the patient compartment by MD droids, but her attention was on her mother.
"You've got half the males in the plaza standing on their tongues," she whispered. "I hope Dad doesn't know how you act when you're dressed like that."
"Of course he knows," Leia replied. "He loves it when I dress like this."
Jaina tried not to imagine her father leering at her mother in that outfit, and failed miserably.
"Thanks for that picture. I knew there was a reason I don't travel with you guys much."
Leia chuckled.
"You ought to. Maybe you'd learn to dial down the gravity setting a little," she said. "You need to give your alter ego room to play in these situations. That's the best way to make it work for you."
"Really?"
Jaina wondered why her mother would think her alter ego was an uptight secretary from an emotionally restrained species.
"I look forward to hearing more about your theory later. In the meantime..."
Jaina gestured at the med wagon, where the second Rhodian's gurney was being mag-clamped to the floor opposite his companion. From what she could sense through the Force, both agents were in pain, but completely stable and far from death.
"Shall we?"
Leia eyed the med wagon, then said,
"You know we don't stand a chance, right?"
"I know that it's Ben."
Leia let out a huge sigh of relief.
"I was hoping you'd say that."
She stepped across the intangible line of control that a pair of Coruscant security officers had created by the simple fact of their presence. Ignoring them, she started toward the med wagon's patient compartment, wailing and whimpering, and in general doing a pretty credible job of looking like a vac-brain glitter girl on the verge of hysterics.
"Webby!" she screamed. "What happened?"
The two security officers sprang after her, both raising stun sticks and yelling dire warnings to stop.
"It's okay," Jaina said,
also crossing the line of control and coming up behind the two officers.
"She's with me."
Force commands only worked on weak-minded individuals, which Jaina felt sure had to include most of the beings serving her brother. These two were no exception. They stopped almost in their tracks and turned around, their shoulders already sagging in an unconscious gesture of subservience. Still, an Illaumin secretary in a high-necked sheath was far from the uniformed superior they had been expecting. They frowned and glanced at each other. Then the older of the two, an anvil-headed Arcona with deep cracks in the flesh around his green eyes, extended a long taloned hand.
"Credentials, please."
"I'm undercover."
Jaina gestured with her hand, giving the Arcona something to focus on other than the mesmerizing tone of her voice.
"I have no credentials."
The Arcona's gray brow knitted into a deep furrow.
"She's undercover," he said. "She has no credentials."
"So?" asked his companion, a handsome human with bright white teeth and what looked like a 2-day growth of beard stubble. "That just means she's GAG. Leave her alone."
"Good thinking,"
Jaina said to the human.
"And you don't need to file a report about this. We're undercover."
Now the human frowned, and she realized that she might have overplayed her hand.
"No report? Sergeant Cade will have our heads."
"No, he won't."
Jaina leaned in close, then lowered her voice so that the two officers had to lean down to hear her.
"Who do you think we're investigating?"
The cracks around the Arcona's eyes suddenly widened into red stripes of raw flesh, and the human's white teeth vanished behind his pale lips.
Cade? He gasped. I don't believe it.
Jaina leaned in even closer.
Does that mean you're unwilling to cooperate, officer?
She paused until she sensed the man's name rising to the top of his mind, then finished.
Tobel?
Tobel's eyes widened, and he stood up straight.
Not me, he said. I mean, we never saw you.
He turned to the Arcona.
Right, Giotto?
The Arcona simply looked away and stepped back toward the line of control, threatening to arrest a hapless Faline couple who had done nothing wrong.
Good, Jaina said. A note of commendation will be placed in your file.
Tobel smiled.
Thanks. After my last review, I could use...
Not those files,
Jaina said.
Ours.
Tobel's smile turned to an expression of dismay.
G.A.G. has a file on me?
Jaina frowned.
Come now, officer, she said. You know I can't tell you that.
She stepped past Tobel and continued toward the med wagon, where her mother had already deactivated both MD droids and was closing the doors of the patient compartment. Jaina went directly to the front of the blocky med wagon and used the force to deactivate the security circuit on the pilot's hatch, then stood back as the door swung up to reveal an operator's compartment nearly as packed with controls and gauges as a starfighter's cockpit, though with nearly a meter of empty space separating two thickly padded safety seats, it was far roomier. A surprised Biff looked out from the pilot seat, his lidless eyes bulging in alarm.
What are you doing?
He reached up to pull the hatch closed.
Get back! You're not author...
Officer Tobel will explain.
Jaina caught his arm, then slapped the quick release latch on his crash webbing and pulled him out of the seat.
These patients are my responsibility now.
What?
The Biff tried to return to the pilot seat, only to find Jaina's hand in the middle of his chest, sending him stumbling back toward the control line.
Who do you think you...
Officer Tobel will explain.
Jaina hopped into the pilot seat, pulling the hatch closed in the same motion, and engaged the repulsor lifts. The med wagon lurched into the air with a shrill whine and sent dozens of bystanders scrambling out of its path. She held back on the throttle under the pretense of giving them time to clear a lane, but she was also peering over their heads in the direction of Ben's doomsled, watching as it streaked across the plaza toward the rectangular maw of the Arrakid Tower's through-pass. Jaina activated the routing screen on the instrument panel and saw the logo of the Borsk Failure Center across the top. Below that was a schematic of Monument Plaza and the surrounding area, with a series of blinking red arrows running out through the Travrat Gap and up into the 4000 Sky Lane. She turned in the direction indicated by the screen's waypoint dot and found herself looking at a dark stripe of emptiness about an eighth of the way around the plaza from where Ben was headed. The patient compartment access panel opened, filling the operator's area with the stinging smell of disinfectant and antiseptic. Leia came forward, now minus the extra set of Kodru G arms, but wearing the belt and equipment that had been stowed inside them. She had also donned a tan robe, but continued to wear the wig and face makeup that had completed her disguise.
What are you doing?
Leia pointed across the plaza toward the doomsled, which was just vanishing down the black mouth of the Arrakid Tower's through-pass.
That way. Can't,
Jaina said.
We have to make this run look legitimate, at least until we're out of the plaza. Who cares about legitimate?
Leia demanded.
I'm not letting Ben out of daycare.
Jaina pointed through the upper canopy, where the dark rectangles of half a dozen troop sleds were still circling the plaza.
And they've got auto blasters.
Leia glanced up at the black rectangles, then let her breath out in frustration.
Stang, they probably would notice. Once we're clear of the surveillance umbrella, we won't have any trouble finding Ben,
Jaina assured her mother.
We know where Tahiri's taking him, and that doomsled sticks out like a Gamorrean at a state banquet.
Good point,
Leia began to tap the routing screen keypad. We should be able to catch up at Big Snarl. After that, we can take them somewhere in Galactic City.
Jaina slipped the medwagon into the narrow chasm between the transparasteel monolith of the Traveler's Palace and the octagonal cylinder of the Curat Commercial Center. A transparasteel safety wall flashed past beneath them, marking the end of the plaza decking. And suddenly, they were traveling over a band of dark nothingness, barely 10 meters wide, and so deep that it took a kilometer just to reach the murk. Jaina counted to 3 to make certain they had passed beyond view of the troop sleds still circling Monument Plaza, then shoved the throttle forward. The medwagon shot past so close to the palace's guest rooms that she could see the eyes of some occupants widen with astonishment, and a pair of loud crashes sounded from the rear of the medwagon as the 2 MD droids tumbled against the doors.
"What about our patients?" she asked. "They should be okay as long as the droids don't land on them," Leia said. "They're strapped in, and their gurneys are mag-clamped to the floor."
"Mom, I'm not worried about their health," Jaina said. "I want to be sure we're secure."
"Oh."
Jaina felt her mother's gaze on her, not necessarily disapproving, but certainly evaluating.
"They won't be giving us any trouble, Jaina. They're sedated."
Jaina sighed.
"Look, I'm not suggesting you blast them in their sleep. Just be sure this isn't part of Tahiri's setup."
A wave of relief rolled through the Force.
"Of course."
Leia slipped out of her seat and turned toward the access panel.
"For a moment, I was worried you'd learned a little too much from Fett."
"Well, I did learn not to underestimate my enemy," Jaina replied.
They reached the end of the Travrat gap and shot out between 2 levels of perpendicular traffic.
"Hold on."
She banked hard and dropped toward the left-bound lane, leaving her mother momentarily weightless, and another series of crashes sounded from the rear of the medwagon, this time from up near the ceiling. She felt Leia exert herself in the Force, then glimpsed her settling onto the floor again. As the medwagon neared the skylane level, an air taxi shot up ahead of them, the furry little pilot flashing his front incisors and making a rude gesture. To avoid a collision, Jaina had to bring the medwagon's nose up sharply, then ease off the repulsor lifts and more or less hull-flop into the traffic lane. The MDs banged to the floor, shaking the whole medwagon, and Leia let out a grunt as she struggled to stay standing.
"You are your father's daughter," she complained. "What do you think I am, a YV?"
"Not my fault," Jaina replied. "Squib air taxi."
"You dislocated my knees to avoid hitting a squib?" Leia asked. "What, you didn't want to scratch our paint?"
Leia retreated into the patient compartment and began to bang around, securing the Rodians to their gurneys and mag-clamping the MDs to the floor. Jaina decided not to activate the medwagon's blue emergency beacon. That would only necessitate a 3-level climb into the emergency lanes, where finding the doom sled would be next to impossible. Besides, it was going to be hard enough to sneak up on Tahiri without advertising their arrival with a flashing light. Jaina checked the traffic screen, rotating each cam through its full angle of view, but she found no signs of pursuit. In fact, the only hint of GAG at all was a single troop sled crossing 2 lanes overhead on its way back to headquarters. Jaina didn't trust anything this easy. Leia came back through the access panel with the miniature signal scanner from her equipment belt in hand.
"Our patients were starting to come around already," she reported.
She began to run the scanner over the interior of the pilot's cabin, working from the top down, paying special attention to the light and overhead instrument panels where an eavesdropping bug or tracking device was most likely to be located.
"I gave them a little something extra to fix that problem."
Leia scanned the seats and instrument panels next, then dropped to the floor and checked even the rudder pedals beneath Jaina's feet. By the time she had finished, a maelstrom of traffic had appeared at the end of their skylane, with speeder vehicles of every type zipping past in a blur of dark streaks and glowing ribbons.
"Big Snarl coming up,"
Jaina reported. Big Snarl was one of the countless ventilation chimneys that helped draw hot, humid air up out of Coruscant's lower levels. Its role as a traffic interchange was only a secondary function.
"And it looks really charged."
Fully aware of the dangers of entering a traffic vortex unsecured, Leia returned to her seat and began to strap in. And it occurred to Jaina how strange it felt to be an infiltrator here. Coruscant was the planet that always came to mind when she imagined a safe place to rest, the home that she was always fighting to defend. The steady drone of traffic that echoed through its Duracrete canyons was as familiar to her as her own voice, and its endless panorama of skyscrapers would always make her feel like she was gazing out the viewport in her parents' living room. Now her own brother had made it hostile territory. They reached the end of the skylane, and Jaina swung the medwagon into a steep bank as she followed a Soro Sub Touristar sightseeing van into the vortex. Through the viewing bubble she glimpsed arms, tentacles, and prehensile tails flying up in alarm as the van entered the unpredictable air currents. Then her seat slammed up beneath her, and she found herself struggling to retain control as the medwagon slipped, rolled, and pitched around the vast ventilation chimney that was the Big Snarl.
"There's Ben,"
Leia pointed about a quarter of the way around the vortex at a steep downward angle.
"Looks like they're heading for the pipe." "The GC?"
The Galactic City Speed Pipe was a private speeder tunnel that shot under Galactic City diagonally, cutting an hour-long trip to 15 minutes, for a price. To keep traffic light, the one-way toll was 100 credits.
"Any escorts?" "There are a couple of troop sleds ahead, but they're still high, probably taking the skylanes back."
Leia paused for a moment, then said,
"They're making this easy on us. You couldn't ask for a better place to take down an unescorted doom sled than the speed pipe." "Yeah, too easy."
Jaina began to work the medwagon over to the descent lanes on the interior ring of the vortex.
"And like Fett says, when something's too easy, something stinks,"
Leia finished.
"He stole that line from your father, you know."
Jaina smiled.
"I think there are a lot of things Fett learned from Dad,"
she said.
"That's probably why he carries a grudge." "That and the Sarlacc pit,"
Leia said.
"But Fett had the pit coming." "No argument here."
Jaina thought of Fett's wife, Sintas, and all those years alone because Fett had needed his revenge more than he needed her, of Aelin growing up hating her father, of Fett spending the rest of his life alone, 3 lives wasted because of his pride.
"And he probably deserves a couple more decades, too."
Finally, they reached the inner rings of the vortex. Jaina lowered their nose and began to spiral toward the speedpipe, along with the rest of the traffic. Her mother pulled and armed her blaster, then pressed her forehead to the viewport on her side of the wagon and peered down the chimney.
"What's the holdup?" Leia demanded. "Worried you'll lose your speeder license again?" "Lose my what?"
Jaina asked. She got the joke an instant later and chuckled, though she also understood what her mother was really saying.
"Stop poking around in traffic and catch that doom sled now. We'd be tipping our hand." "Jaina, we don't have a hand,"
Leia said.
"The speed pipe's a tra—"
The sentence ended in a startled cry as Jaina rolled them toward Leia and let the medwagon slide sideways into the center of the chimney, where traffic laws and heavy updrafts kept the eye of the snarl free of vehicles. The yoke started to jump and shudder as they were caught by the fierce winds. Then a steady stream of trash, rumpled flimsoplast, discarded clothing, the occasional hawk bat, came at them like ground flak. Jaina dropped their nose again and poured on the throttle,
and the whole vehicle began to lurch as it powered its way downward. A couple of jaw-clenching moments later, Jaina spotted the doom sled 4 levels below, still at least 0.5 kilometer above the brightly lit entrance to the speedpipe. She picked a cutoff angle and swung their nose around, then heard a faint, muffled voice coming from the rear patient compartment.
"Activate, activate, activate!"
Jaina glanced over to find her mother looking at her with a puzzled expression.
"Was that Tahiri?"
Jaina asked.
"You heard it, too."
Leia frowned and started to turn toward the access panel. Then her eyes flashed with sudden comprehension.
"The Rodians!"
Leia released her safety webbing and jumped up, using the force to keep her balance in the diving, bucking medwagon as she clambered up into the patient compartment. Jaina started to ask what was so worrying about the Rodians when she remembered that her mother had been forced to give them another shot of anesthesia, because whatever the MDs had given them was wearing off. Perhaps the original dose had been meant to last only a few minutes, just long enough to trick a pair of Jedi hijackers into believing their patients were not a threat. A soft hiss began to sound beneath the instrument panel, and Jaina knew she had guessed correctly.
"Gas!"
Jaina did not inhale after shouting the warning, did not even think about trying to pull down a quick breath before the gas filled the compartment. She simply pressed her tongue up against the roof of her mouth and concentrated on not wanting to breathe, on using her Jedi discipline to convince her mind that she did not need air. A few hundred meters below, not far from a disk of bright light surrounded by the blue spiral arrow logo of the Galactic City Speedpipe Concern, a hangar door opened. Jaina reached out to her mother in the Force, passing along a silent warning, and was relieved to feel a conscious presence. A line of armored air cars slid out of the hangar, causing a chain of minor accidents as they shot across 70 lanes of traffic and began to ascend the center of the chimney. The air cars were all GAG black, with a trio of thrust nozzles flaring from their tails and a single cannon protruding from the small turret on their roofs. Funny how even a human Jedi could hold her breath for 4 or 5 minutes underwater without much effort, but try to do the same thing in air, and her body began to fight her after less than a minute, to demand what it could feel available just a skin's thickness away. Jaina craned her neck around, looking over her shoulder through the medwagon's upper canopy, and saw troop sleds dropping into the eye of the snarl from all directions. Trapped. No place to go, so she kept going down. Her head began to swim, but not from oxygen deprivation. Too early for that. Probably coma gas. Sneaky stuff. Didn't even have to breathe. Just let it get into your nose, absorbed through the nasal passages. Vision dark around the edges. Jaina snapped the lightsaber off her belt, jammed the emitter against the side hatch, thumbed the activation button on and off. Acrid smell of melted metal, then a piercing whistle, rushing air. Didn't help. Darkness still closing in, losing battle to hold breath. Doomsled, the only thing Jaina can see, turning toward a bright blur. Speedpipe entrance. Chin dropping. Going. Going. Reach out in force. Mom's still alert. Worried, not frightened. Gone. Darkness. Came back to the shrill whistle of rushing air, bright flashes blossoming all around, dizzy, but grogginess lifting fast, cool breath filling her lungs, something warm and synthetic smelling clamped over her mouth and nose. Detonations booming through the medwagon, bouncing Jaina against her safety restraints. Not just detonations, G-forces. 2 hands in front of her, not hers, jerking the steering yoke side to side, up and down. The hands were attached to a pair of arms, attached to an unfamiliar woman in a tan Jedi robe. The lower part of her face was hidden by a breath mask, but above that she had the long barbed ears and upward slanting eyebrows of a Kodru G female.
Still, there was something wrong with the eyes themselves. They were too big and round, and they were a rich, deep brown that Jaina recognized as the color of her mother's. And then Jaina recalled that her mother had been disguised as a Kodruji in Monument Plaza. The whole mess came back to her. Ben's capture, and their pursuit into the Big Snarl, trying to catch the Doomsled before it disappeared into the big white disk ahead, surrounded by a spiraling arrow of blue light. The Galactic City Speedpipe. Leia was taking them in after Ben. Something about that bothered Jaina. Leia juked when she should have jinked, and a deafening bang rang out from the patient compartment. The med wagon swung into a sideslip, tail threatening to overtake the nose, and began to drop toward the busy traffic lanes below. Jaina glimpsed the bubble-topped wedge of a cannon car pouring colored bolts of energy toward them, and then she remembered the problem with going into the speedpipe after Ben. Tahiri. A line of cannon bolts streaked along the pilot's hatch, pinging and sizzling along the outer skin. The GAG gunners were good, almost good enough to make it look like they were really trying to shoot the Jedi down. But the med wagon was a big, soft target at such close range, and Jaina had fired enough blaster cannons to know that even average gunners could have reduced it to so much fluttering jetsam within a few seconds. Now that there was no question of catching the Doomsled outside the speedpipe, Tahiri and her GAG cohorts had returned to the original plan and were trying to trap Ben's backup team in a carefully controlled environment with no escape routes. Leia brought the med wagon under control barely a dozen meters above the closest traffic lane, then raised the nose back toward the luminous white mouth of the speedpipe.
"Mom, wait!"
Jaina grabbed the yoke, but did not try to change course while her mother was still steering.
"We can't go in there."
Leia did not yield control.
"What?"
Her voice was so muffled by the breath mask that it was difficult to understand even that single word.
"We have to. Ben's in there."
"Along with a few hundred GAG troops, I'll bet."
Jaina gently began to pull on the yoke, and her mother reluctantly yielded control.
"It's a trap, remember?"
"So," Leia replied, "we still have to try."
"We can't."
Jaina began to juke and jink like she was in an X-wing, still continuing more or less in the direction of the speedpipe, but keeping her eye on the traffic lanes below, looking for a small gap coming their way.
"Tahiri planned this. She had this med wagon rigged and waiting."
Leia glared into the speedpipe with a furrowed brow.
"You think she knew Ben was coming?"
"I think she's known for a while that Shevu has been spying for Ben," Jaina said. "And I think she's been sitting on Shevu, just waiting to pick up Ben and his backup team."
Leia sank into her chair, but kept staring into the rapidly swelling brilliance of the speedpipe.
"How?" she asked. "No one knew about Shevu but a handful of masters. Who would betray us?"
Jaina continued to watch the traffic lanes below.
"Good question."
She fought back to the windswept turf near Fen Shisa's memorial on Mandalore, recalling a conversation with Fett, a conversation in which she had unwisely shared the recording Shevu had made of Jason's confession to killing Mara. Fett never broke his word, and he had said that he knew how to keep a secret. But knowing how to keep a secret was not exactly promising to do it.
"We'll figure that out when we get back to base."
Leia looked over, tears welling in her upslanted eyes.
"So you're just going to leave Ben here?"
"We can't get him back, Mom."
Jaina spotted the traffic gap she had been looking for and began to line the med wagon up on an interception vector.
"Not now. It's time to cut our losses and move on."
That was something else Jaina had learned from Fett, not to buck impossible odds. And she hated him for it.
It was not, after all, the solo way. The traffic gap started to disappear under the Medwagon's front passenger side corner. Jaina dropped their nose and cut power to the repulsor lifts, and they shot through the opening like a falling star. The cannon fire died away almost instantly, and a curving ribbon of lights appeared ahead and began to swell rapidly as the Medwagon dropped toward the next traffic level. Jaina returned power to the repulsor lifts and dropped into a lane, becoming just one of an endless stream of vehicles descending into the shadows of Coruscant's undercity. If Leia noticed that they had escaped their pursuers, she did not show it. She simply slumped in her seat and stared out into the growing gloom.
"I don't think I can do it," she said, shaking her head. "How can I tell Luke that we lost his son?"